This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Who chose this porn music?
I don't know.
Where did this come from, Peyton? Who was this Spittle?
This second half music is me. I chose it.
I'll tell you this.
But the first part.
I have no idea. That was something I think Tim put together.
Is that supposed to be like funky jazz? I mean, because you're right, it is porn music. But no, that sounds pornographic.
What did you just say?
It's never on any of my categories, this music.
No?
No.
We're talking about 70s. Like we're talking about the handlebar mustaches.
70s, yeah.
Never heard of a razor. We're talking about that era.
That's what this is. Holy cow. Yep.
Thanks for waking up with us here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, yeah.
The takedown. The Cowboy takedown continued yesterday here on Radio Row, and it was Emmett Smith. Zach Wilczek, congratulations to him, drinking some Herradura tequila with Emmett. He was so happy. He wore a jacket because he said, is it Schwitzing? He said he was...
Schwitzing, yeah. like going in the sauna?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I'm schwitzing now. Yeah.
He said he was schwitzing, so he had to wear a black jacket, so he didn't want to sweat in front of Emmett. He was so nervous, but Emmett Smith sat down with the G-Bag Nation. We'll get to that audio in a second. But first, he was with Maggie and Perloff behind us, and they asked him. Ashton Gentry said, hey, I may be a more explosive. They're saying I'm a more explosive Emmett Smith. Emmett, should Ashton Gentry be a Cowboy?
He comes to the Cowboys right now. He's going to get beat up. I don't think we're ready. We don't have the right mindset. We don't have the right commitments. I just talked about commitments and being disaligned. I think we're drafting exciting pieces. Back to your point earlier about winning. Exciting pieces that get fans, oh, we got Ashton Gentry. Oh, we're going to be able to run the ball. Okay. You're trying to tell me Zeke Elliott and Rico Dowdle could not carry their team? No. There was no commitment to run the football. And when there was a commitment, when Dak Prescott went down, Rico ran the ball well. So don't tell me we can't run the football. Dak went down. They shifted from Cooper Kupp. Well, not Cooper Kupp, but
Cooper Rush.
It brought his passes down and created more runs for the running game. And then you start having this level of balance and start to show some kind of consistency. Need to do that the whole entire year. That's the formula that I'm talking about. And so quit trying to do what everyone else is doing in the National Football League. Your quarterback is not Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh. How many stops had Emmett made where he was drinking tequila on set before he said, you're telling me Ezekiel Elliott couldn't carry this team? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, buddy.
He has always been way too loyal to Zeke for some reason. But the headline of that is, now the Cowboys just are not ready. They don't have the right mindset. They don't have the right approach. And it would not be great for Ashton Gentry to immediately come here.
They're not ready. They're not ready to be like contender status right now. They've got to rebuild a lot.
That's what Jimmy Johnson was saying, right?
Yeah, he had talked about that the other day where he said that, He did an interview with media yesterday, talked to Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com, and he said, like, they got to rebuild the offensive line. Like, and it said the offensive and the defensive line. He's like, they got to rebuild the trenches before they're going to be consistently competitive. But he did also endorse Brian Schottenheimer, said, I think he's going to be a great coach. So, you know, he's got that thumbs up.
You've
got
to look at Detroit as the formula. Like, Dak and Goff are kind of cut in this. They're top 10 players, quarterbacks. They're not elite. They can't. They need an offensive line. Like, they both need
I mean, need everyone needs an offensive
everybody,
line.
Everybody. But, you know, if Mahomes or Allen doesn't have a great one, you're not going to, you know, it's not going to kill you.
I mean, it killed Mahomes in that 1 year, and that's why they were like, crap, we got to go get him an offensive line.
But they still went to the Super Bowl that year. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. you know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, they can handle it. When you have quarterbacks who aren't mobile, and you know, Dak, Goff, not mobile, you've got to have a line.
Emmitt then sat down with the G-Bag Nation and said, I need to clarify.
First of all, I never said I don't want him.
Okay.
Let's make that very clear. I never said I don't want him. I think he's a very talented individual. I just don't know if the Cowboys are ready for him.
Okay.
Because there is no commitment to running a rock. If there was a commitment to running a rock, then the Cowboys would be talking about upgrading the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They'd be talking about an offensive system that we don't even know what kind of system we're going to have right now. So let's get that clear. It's not that I don't want Jensen. Quit trying to get all this damn clickbait and tell the daggone truth of what I said. And the truth is, the kid is very talented. I'm just not sure if the team is ready for him.
Oh, my.
Wow. Do you know how much Zach was just peeing himself? Like, oh, no, him hates me.
I thought Zach told me that went well. He never mentioned anything about that afterwards.
Payne, replay.
He was very schwitzing.
We've got to get the video.
Schwitzing a ton.
Replay the first, like, 5 seconds where Evan goes, let's just get one thing clear. And Zach's like, yeah, right. Let's play it.
It's not that I don't want Jinty. Quit trying to get all this damn clickbait.
Right.
And tell the daggone truth what I said.
He was panicking in that moment.
Right. I'm the one who brought it up and got the original audio wrong. But yeah, right. Now we move on over to 88. Dez Bryant sitting down with Maggie and Perloff. And I give props to these former Cowboys, man. They're telling it like it is.
They're not serious about, you know, the future in the next 2 to 3 years. I felt like last year the Cowboys were rebuilding. They proved me right. And when I look at Dak Prescott and I look at that offense, I'm looking at the things that you need to be successful playing in this league. I just don't see it.
Not serious. Was it a mistake to give Dak the money and hire Brian Schottenheimer?
I feel like all throughout Dak's career, it's been coaches that's been familiar, that's always been with him. You know, and I kind of feel like a lot of that is leaving, if that makes sense. That's what leads me to believe things is kind of headed in a different direction. You know, they're not going to say it in the media, but if you read between the lines and just pay attention to what's going on, you can read the writing on the wall. And that's kind of, you know, what I've been getting from all of this. Like, Shoddy, like, he don't really have any experience. You know, and there's no knock on him. Like I said, I pray he do good. I want him to do good. I bleed blue, so... You know, we just got to wait and see. But my take on it, I don't see no success. And you're right. Why sign him to the contract? You know, if you wasn't going to put the best pieces around him for him to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's not buying into Schottenheimer because of a lack of experience. You know, valid criticisms.
It's a question. I mean, that out would have been a question with anybody. Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn would have been the same question. But it's valid. I mean, he's never been a head coach. He's never been a great coordinator. You know, you're hoping that he's a leader of men.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I mean, every bit of evidence and testimony we have about him is that he is that.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to agree. And we'll dive into this next week. We've been saving it. You know some of the stuff I had, like, sent you clips of, like, from that book Collision Low Crossers, where there are some wild stories in there about Schottenheimer just being a psycho about work ethic and people putting in time and... You know, just like he is, they compared him to Tom Coughlin. They're like, Coughlin was considered just like a just brutal person to work for. And everybody's like, oh, no, Schottenheimer's worse than Tom when it comes to everybody's putting in hours we're working here.
Speaking of Dez, he has been fighting nonstop with Kayvon Thibodeau on social media. Kayvon Thibodeau, the New York Giant, he sat down with Zach Gelb and was asked about the beef.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
So it was just all right. Yeah.
Much love to Dez. You know, he's a media connoisseur, and me, I just like to roast people. So for me, when off season comes and I just got a little more free time, you know, why not? Why not give the fans something to see?
Is the beef over though with Dez? There are a lot of tweets there on that.
Nah, the beef is never over. Okay. As long as he represents the Cowboys, the beef will never be over.
He sounds like he's just kind of a troll. The way he said it, he doesn't sound like he actually hates Dez. He sounds more just like he's like, he's a Cowboy, and I'm going to lean into it, so I'm going to...
Yeah, because I was worried about them on Radio Row together, the way they were talking.
Yeah.
And then he dropped the F-bomb with that interview. As RJ Ochoa points out, you're 0-6 against the Cowboys, Kayvon.
Yeah, not a great run for Kayvon Thibodeau. No. He should worry about them just like not picking in the top five again.
And then Micah says, I always turn it up against the Giants because they were supposed to draft me. They lied to me. I thought I recalled some recent games where Dez like did nothing against the Giants.
Oh yeah, no, he had one game specifically where I think that was one of his empty stat line games where he had no tackles, no hits, nothing.
And he didn't do the interview afterwards.
Yeah, where
he dodged the media.
Yep. And
okay.
They won that game.
Speaking of dodging the media, what does Warren Sapp have against Micah Parsons? Warren Sapp was sitting down with our boy Zach. And, you know, he was a defensive coach for Deion at Colorado. Mm-hmm. So Zach was asking about Shador and Travis and who's the best player in the draft and how would he use Travis Hunter. Listen to this.
He's my starting corner. I just took away one-third of the field, and I have a package for him on offense because the NFL is so wide open. Nobody hits anybody anymore. They're just running everywhere anyway. So put him over there on offense, get him 6 to 12 plays a game, give him the ball 5-6 times a game. It'll really age your football team.
Is he the best player in this draft?
Yeah.
Where does Shador fall in that?
Right behind him.
Yeah.
And then Cam right behind him.
Abdul Carter, too, Penn State. Edge rusher. He's pretty good.
All right. What was the last edge rusher from Penn State?
Micah Parsons.
And what rushing he doing?
Hey, he's...
What pass exactly rush he got? What?
Yeah.
You better look that up.
Yeah.
15 what?
He gets like 15 sacks a year.
You believe this?
Micah Parsons?
I'm going to leave you on that one.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Well, leaving me hanging. You're leaving me hanging. Micah Parsons, he's a good pass rusher.
He got up and walked off the set.
What is that?
Warren's, is he here today? Let me make sure he's not here today.
Are there any hookers on the street right now?
He's the biggest jackass in here.
Yeah.
He's the biggest jackass. We had, he was our worst Radio Row encounter.
Yeah, we tried to get him on and we're like, hey, you want to come on? And we're Dallas Radio. Dallas.
He said, put a jersey on.
Y'all in this game? I'm not coming here. I'm not coming on your show.
Like he's got that nasty, like, you mentality, it feels like. But he has called out Micah in the past. I went and did a little homework. I'm like, what is the beef here? What is the issue? And he said that to Zach straight face. Who's the last Penn State pass rusher?
He's like, what numbers he got? It's like, he has 15 sacks here. You better look that up. Now, to be fair, I don't think Mike has ever gotten 15. He's gotten 14 and a half or something.
He's always between 13 and 14. Yeah. Like, he's always right there, right? He's had 13, 13 and a half, 14 and 12. Like that's... What are we talking about?
Warren has criticized him in the past, saying he basically shuts things down. He shuts it down. When he doesn't have a chance to make a play, it was January 2024 with Whitlock. Quote, they told me Micah was the next Lawrence Taylor. I think he called him Michael Parsons. I can show you enough plays where he looked like Betty Taylor rather than Lawrence.
Betty Taylor.
I mean, come on. You kidding me?
What the hell is that?
Come on. I pull the tape out. Not running, and I'll show you. If he doesn't believe he has a chance to make the play, he's going to turn it off, just shut it down, just turn the key off, boom, it's over. Tank sets the pace up front, and then Micah takes it off the top.
Wow.
Wasn't Warren Sapp a guy who should have known when to turn it off? Like when he's blindsiding Chad Clifton and trying to fight Mike Sherman
Clifton.
Yeah, that whole thing. But no, that was the – yeah, who is Betty Taylor? Does he
Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Betty. Betty is the nickname for Elizabeth.
Joy Taylor instead of Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. James Taylor instead of Lawrence Taylor. There were plenty of other Taylors. And he throws out a random Betty. Like, who the hell's Betty?
All right. Dream content for RJ Choppy. Baseball and history. And the latter subject could cause some problems with those listening and on the G-Bag Nation. Curt Schilling during the commercial-free expressway and our final Luke Bryan ticket giveaway of the week for you turning it on, leaving it on, both coming at you next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got a baseball legend here. I had to call Choppy back from the hotel to rush on over just for Curt Schilling to join us here on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. What's up, man? How are you?
All right, so I'm going to vet right up front, born and raised a Pittsburgh Steeler fan.
Oh. All right,
so really dislike the Cowboys. Okay. But
who is your hated Cowboy?
So I grew up in the 70s when my Steelers were winning everything, and they had to beat the Cowboys to do it. So I was never a Staubach fan.
Do you think that it's time to move on from Tomlin? Because a lot of Steeler fans seem to.
So I kind of, a couple years ago, I was of that, like, you know, they were making these early exits. But then Antonio Brown stuff came out, and I realized how amazing he managed that, I kind of changed my mind a little bit because that guy was a train wreck.
Yeah.
And the thought of never knowing about that when he was with the Steelers, to me, in this day and age, speaks volumes about how he handled his clubhouse. But as a conservative American, I thought he turned his back on Villanueva when he had the team not stand for the anthem and Villanueva was out by himself. And Tomlin, to me, should have been like, okay, dude, you know, I got your back. I was really down on him about that. But I don't know that it was his fault that they've been out early. I think it's just like I never believed in the curse, I think when you lose in the playoffs, for the most part, it's a curse of talent. They just didn't have enough people to do it. And I certainly, they were a lottery team before the season started, And now people are talking, oh, you mad that they were out of the put? No, they were
the
way.
The person that needs to go in Pittsburgh is whoever is in charge of the quarterback. Whoever's deciding that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields should be the quarterback, that person needs to go. That's the problem.
Well, my biggest problem is that I can't expect – I think Russell Wilson's serviceable. If you've got a running back you can give the ball to, I think the stat that blew me away this year – almost two-thirds of the way through the season, Najee Harris had close to 1,000 carries in his life and had two runs over 25 yards.
Ooh.
Like, that blew me away.
Yeah.
If you don't have that threat, if you don't have that alternative to the pass, you're not going to win. I think you have to throw to win, but I didn't have Saquon Barkley to hand the ball to. and that was amazing to watch.
How much baseball are you watching nowadays?
Less.
Why?
It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. The sport isn't what it was. And
access or the sport?
Well, the sport, right? The access is you can get access to anybody these days. And I swore, and I'm not, I would never be a back-when-I-played guy, but it's a different game to watch.
Sure.
It's not as fun to watch. And so that's one of the reasons I'm getting back into the sport. You know, I want to do color. Because this baseball still has the most downtime of any sport. And people don't want to hear about Shohei Ohtani hitting 2.305. They know that. That's in the paper. They want to know, hey, dude, what are they talking about on the mound? Like, they're talking about that blonde sitting behind home plate. I mean, she's hot. Like, those are the and those are the kind of conversations that go on. You see when guys are mic'd up.
Yeah.
They're talking about things you would never think about.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, from that perspective, I'd like to do that. I'd like to get back in, whether it be color or teaching, pitching. I think I know pitching as well as anybody that's ever lived, and I love to teach it. So,
real quick, Chop, who were your favorite? Who is and who were your favorite analysts?
Well, I always liked the play-by-play guys. Like, I feel like I was always a Jim Cott. I've always loved because he talked about pitching at a level I understood, and he could talk about pitching at a level that you would understand if you weren't a pitcher. And I always liked guys that could translate that. And I always felt like that was my strength. I can talk about pitching in a way that if you don't pitch, you totally get what I'm saying. And that's I'm not talking over your head because I'm smarter than you because I played the game. I'm trying to make you understand why the game is so hard to be good at.
It's funny you brought up Cott because I always remember his memory of like, oh, yeah, I gave up a home run this
tool. Oh, we all have it.
You all have it?
Because
we always like praise like LeBron for like, oh, he's got this great memory.
Yeah.
Is that just athletes?
Yes. Well, anytime you're talking about the best in the world at something, one of the things I think that and I say best in the world in the sense that I was one of the 0.5% that played in the big leagues. I can remember pitches and at-bats from 30 years ago very vividly and comfortably because they were teaching moments. I can remember innings. I can remember specific events that were transcendental in my career and changed my career forever. And I can remember watching at-bats. And it's funny because there's an at-bat that I watched that changed my thoughts about pitching forever on a Sunday night ESPN game laying in my hotel room in San Francisco. I was watching Greg Maddux pitch a Sunday night game. And Dave Martinez was up with the bases loaded. And I watched Maddux work a 2-2 count, and I watched him intentionally throw ball three to go to a full count. Like, the hell's he doing? And he threw a 3-2 changeup with the bases loaded and struck him out. And the next spring I asked him about it. He was like, yeah, I knew 2-2, wasn't guaranteed to get a swing, but I knew if I got the 3-2, I could get him to chase my changeup. And I was like, oh, my God, that's another level.
Wow.
So the San Francisco moment was not Mike Bassett against Barry Bonds.
It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. It wasn't.
Now, you tried to spell Mike's name when he came up and fanboyed out. And
I fairly got the S and the C wrong. That's a normal.
But is that a gift you think you have of last names, or you you remember Mike?
I remember Mike. Right. I mean, I don't care what your spot was on the roster. If you were the 25th man, you were still more talented than anybody most people alive have ever seen.
Kurt Schilling, join us here, 105 through the Fan. Okay, so you said you're not like a huge fan of the current game. Is the bigger problem offensive, where there's a lack of action, or if you only had to change one, or to be the pitching where it's four innings and you're out?
Well, but
five
it's not. It's the fundamental. The game is the. So when I played, in my opinion, 90% of the stars in the big leagues were pitchers, which means they changed speeds, they moved the ball in the strike zone, they had command of multiple pitches. I would argue that 85% of pitchers today are throwers. They're throwing the ball as hard as they can, and that's all that matters. It's made a monumental difference in the postseason.
Yeah.
Because in the postseason, hitters are hypersensitive, hyper-aware, hyper-alert. So throwers get their heads handed to them far more than pitchers. That's why Mo was so great in the postseason. You have to be better, you have to throw harder, and you have to have better command in October than you did in September. And these guys revert the other way. They try and throw harder. And that's the easiest way to get your butt kicked.
Trevor Bauer the other day had tweeted, he was talking about different challenges. Yeah, yeah. But what he was talking about, this is relevant to baseball. He was talking about just how he can still compete, and right. he said, there are 20 batters on earth that are a challenge for me. He's like, yeah. there's 20 batters in the game that are a true challenge for me. Otherwise, I'm better than them, and I don't have. Did you feel similar when you were pitching that there were just a handful of guys that were a genuine challenge when they
were
coming up to
the plate? There were times when I was on the mound where I knew, and I would like the hitter, he's got no chance. Like, I can tell you now what I'm doing, and it's not going to matter. I had an event in the All-Star game in 2002. The day before the game, I went to A-Rod and said, hey, dude, if you come up tomorrow, I'm throwing you nothing but fastballs. And he kind of like double took. And I said, he's like, what are you talking about? I said, I want to know if the best hitter in the world can get that. If I can throw a fastball to a fastball hitter, him know it and me still get you out. And I said, if you come up with nobody on, I'm doing it. And he came up with nobody on the next day. And it was like I threw 97 away, 98 in, 99 away. And
that wasn't 97. It was the location. That got
it was location. Yeah, yeah.
Do you – so we were talking all day about the Luka Doncic trade where it was crazy. Was there a move that happened when you were playing that just shook the sport that you were like, I can't believe this trade happened or this signing?
Well, I was involved in one – the Glenn Davis trade from Baltimore. It was a Pete Harnish, Steve Finley, and I to Houston for Glenn Davis was like – that was mind-boggling, especially in the after effect. Looking back on it, it's like, oh, my God, that might have been one of the worst trades ever. But having been the guy at the deadline a couple times, you know, when I was younger, David Cone was the guy that was getting traded every trading mm-hmm. deadline. But I'll tell you, let me back up. The Doncic thing blew me away because I had no idea he was a lazy idiot. I didn't. Like, Luka Doncic, I'm thinking Mavericks, greatest, one of the greatest players, blah, 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 blah. I had no idea of the whole.
But, Kurt, should it matter? Every Mav fan is saying, who cares? Let him smoke while dribbling. It's 33-9-9.
Right.
Who did you play with? Maybe you were one of these guys. I don't know. Where does it matter if the rules are different?
Manny.
This guy, Manny.
Manny had no rules.
But no, they had no rules for him. And you know,
does that have a negative effect?
No. Well,
on the clubhouse,
when you stop producing, yes.
Yeah.
But Manny can be Manny if it's 345, 40, and 120.
Yeah. And that's what Luka was.
Right. And if that's the case, then fine. But he was out. He's hurt right now. And you got to look back and go, you know, because here's the thing. You let that fester, and that guy will burn your ass at the most important moment. And, you know, when you look back in his – but Manny was, you know, Manny was bipolar. And, you know, we knew that, and it was a dramatic thing. But, dude, one of the greatest ever swing a bat.
Kurt Schilling here on 105 through the Fan. And Chop. He's also got your other passion.
History. I'm a history buff.
I was on the board of directors of the original, when the museum here was founded.
Uh-huh.
I was one of the original. Half my collection sits in that museum. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans is kind of a hidden gem for people that don't live here. Everybody here knows it, right? And this city is still trying to recover from a lot of the things that have happened over the last 15 years. This week is going to be monumental in helping the city get back on its feet. I nerded out there for 6 hours yesterday.
Wow.
I was in Arnhem for the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Arnhem last year in September.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 25th anniversary of it opening. June 6th this year, they're going to have the 25th anniversary. I would tell people, I don't know if you've been there. You haven't been there.
No, I'm
Dude,
not.
What the hell?
I've been here in
I don't care.
15 years.
Yeah. I don't care. It is a bucket list item for someone like us.
Okay.
I can't be... Allocate 2 more hours than you're planning on spending because when you get there, it's going to take your breath away.
Okay.
But people that have no interest, it's still a bucket list item. Live interviews. I met a 100-year-old veteran yesterday. There are only 66,000 left.
Wow.
So we're done. We're in the last decade of World War II veterans being alive. And they were doing a couple living histories. Like, so they bring veterans in. They fly them in and do an oral history with them. And these guys are all 90 and going into their hundreds. And there's interactive stuff there, but it's 5 times bigger than it was when it was founded when I was mm-hmm. here last. And yesterday, like, I left only because it closed. And like I said, I got half my collection sitting in that museum, so seeing it's kind of cool. It's an unbelievable experience.
Thank you for joining us,
Thanks
man.
For having me,
Appreciate
man.
It.
No, that was fun, man.
Kurt Schilling, the 3-time world champion on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Sean, RJ, and Bobby back live here in New Orleans. Final show from Radio Row, brought to you in part by the Low T Center and Stella on DFW Sports Station. Let's go ahead and hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on, and being with us all week long.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan at the Dos Equis Pavilion in Dallas on Friday, June 20th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
I guess we should, well, don't pat ourselves on the back yet because it hasn't happened. But last night, RJ Choppy and myself, we got some inside information that the SMU athletic director will be out today.
Rick Hart. Going to be out today. They got some movement over there at SMU in terms of, you know, some of the people higher up in the university and some changes we made. And he's done a nice job over there. I mean, SMU football obviously is in a great spot. Now, 99% of that is thanks to Rhett Lashley. But, you know, they're in a really good spot over there. And now you got to search for a new AD if and when this actually does happen.
Boy, Zach Martin was right. You are a big SMU guy. He nailed that one. Yeah, you didn't hear him say that the other day when he asked who's your team. He went, "Who are you? You big SMU guy over there?"
Why was he making that joke?
I think he was just throwing out a random team that wasn't as good as his.
After we were making fun of Notre Dame wearing the green jackets. Yeah. So that's the news that we got last night. I don't think anyone else has really confirmed it.
Nope.
And I don't think the press conference has been called or scheduled publicly, but we are hearing that SMU athletic director Rick Hart will be out of that job today. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, caught up with Jerry Jones on the red carpet last night of the NFL honors. And he said, which one should we start with first, Bob? Schottenheimer or offseason
Schottenheimer.
Spending? All right. Jerry said that this is a move for the now, not for the future. We're not building for the future. That's not what that was. This is a hit the ground running higher. And, of course, you would expect Jerry Jones. But there is this little debate. I disagree with Bobby on this team. There's two different ways to go about it. Do they think they're competing now? Are they in a position to really compete now? It's stupid to sign a $60 million quarterback and not be in win-now mode, in my opinion. And then you're going to have one of the best receivers in football and one of the best defensive players in football. And you give, you know, Trayvon Diggs his money. So Jerry's not going to say, yeah, this is about building and down the road, even though we think the Cowboys should have done that multiple times. As for free agency, he said this is going to be more in line with previous years with the focus on paying Micah Parsons. Quote, we spent the most money of anybody in the NFL on a player last year. If we can do that again, that would be pretty good. So that is in line with Stephen Jones months ago saying, nah, we're probably not spending again.
I'll tell you this. It is a hit the ground running higher to me. Pete Carroll's a hit the ground running higher. Bill Belichick. Somebody who's coached before as a head coach.
But they don't have the experience in the building.
No, they don't.
Shoddy. Yeah. Shoddy already knows everyone. Right. We're so far ahead in terms of the relationships.
But Ben Johnson or Brian Schottenheimer, those are not hit the ground running hires. You don't know what they're going to be as a coach. There's learning on the job that's coming. There's going to be growing pains with this. There's no doubt about that. And so I don't think you can say it's a hit the ground running hire. I mean, hit the ground running hire, like I said, is
Belichick.
A coach. It's someone who's been there before as a head coach.
So does that mean he expects them to pay Micah more than the 49ers pay Brock Purdy or something? Like, what did he say? That'd be great if we could spend the most money on a single player this offseason. I will say, the more and more we're getting away from it, and we talked about this, this is going to show more and more that it was a phony idea for Micah of just like, oh, I don't need that much money. I'm not going to take that much. I'm going to leave a lot left for everybody else. And then this week, Jerry's talking about, pay the most money of anybody. And Micah going, well, you can't afford me and Myles Garrett. Well, you can't have the two highest paid edge rushers.
Listen to Micah yesterday on ESPN Radio. Jerry's saying, no, this is win now. Listen to Micah talking direction.
Us players have to do better developing young guys, creating a winning culture. And honestly, I think it's good that we're kind of resetting. You know, we're resetting when it comes to certain players and things and the things. So we could just focus on building the culture. I just think there was kind of a imbalance of players between the old school way and the youth way. And I think it gives leeway for guys like me to step in and kind of take charge in the league.
Okay, help me sort this out, Bobby, please. We're kind of resetting. Jerry says win now. There was a mixture and a problem with the culture with old school, new school, and that opens it up for guys like me, the new school, to lead more. My head hurts. As everyone just writes, but my favorite Cowboy response on social media from the Tolos is, we're effed. We effed.
I guess I'll say DeMarcus Lawrence and Zach Martin, I would imagine their leadership style is different from the way Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons envision themselves as leaders, I would guess. But, man, this is I'm
said, sign me up for Zach and Tank, if that's the case, over Micah and Diggs.
This is
leadership-wise.
This is another one, though, we're hearing, like you say, how it's Nico's been done no favors by the Mavericks locker room. They're doing him no favors with some comments. Cowboys players are giving a little bit of covering fire for a head coaching change in the last couple weeks, where they're saying, yep. Yeah, wasn't right in there.
Yeah.
Just was not right.
I thought Micah during the year, you were disrespected and you were discounted and you guys were, you know, overachieving and you really a champion. Crap.
Maybe he meant it when he said, yeah, I don't really care about Mike. I'm more concerned about Zach Martin, how much this is going to hurt him.
And then final clip from Micah. He was on Up and Adams, and she said, who would be the one move? What would be the one offseason decision? Jerry says it's probably not going to happen, but what would Micah's be?
Yeah, let's go get Myles Garrett. We're going to make one move. Honestly, I'm a defensive person. I don't really believe in the offense because I done seen the best offenses shut down in the biggest moments, and I done seen. But if you're talking about a team, like, consistently, teams that step up, oh, it's defense shows up. Like, you can't. You're dependent on each other. Like, you control the narrative of the game. You know what I mean? By just doing your job. Offense, like, you can kind of be counterproductive if they got a great corner or, like, they got a great linebackers, great. You know, there's too many dependent pieces, like, your best wide receiver needs the offensive line play, QB play, a good run game play. Everything's dependent to it. Mm. But defense, it's like you kind of just show up, F things up, and you're there.
Ooh. Got Nico. Got Nico playing linebacker. It's all about defense, baby.
I don't believe in offense. If you don't believe in it, it's not a thing that anybody's ever won with. My gosh. He does have some moments where he says some things that are similar to, like, when Jerry talks, where you're like, what?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Yeah.
He's and boy, again, that sounds contradictory. Like, I don't know if you can pay me in Miles. I don't know. I mean, that's a nice idea, but then he's up there going, yeah, Miles, we got to get Miles here.
Defense travels. It does. That's what they say, at least. They say defense travels.
It's Friday. It's Expressway. We are commercial free, and let's have a New Orleans version of the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
You want to show the Tolos your stacks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby.
Look at this.
Look at this. So yesterday after the show, went up, went to the room and, cleaned out the rest of my colon. And then I decided,
by the way, my toilet's clogged again. This time it was me.
Yeah.
This morning.
Something's wrong. Something must be wrong with your flush power or something.
I was like, I need a good cardio day. So I decided to walk to the casino.
Okay. How far away?
About 6/10 of a mile each way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, 1.2 miles. Power walk went, very, very fast. And I was like, look, I'm up. I was up at this point probably $500-$600 for the trip. And I was like, I'm going to go. I'm sure it's empty. And it was. And I sat down, stood at a craps table. And I was like, I'm going to go play some craps. And they're renaming Caesar's Choppies. Okay. Look at this stack. Look at this cash,
wow.
Baby. Look at that. I am up well over a grand.
Wow.
For this week. Wow. And it should have been 900 more. They had this thing in the middle of the craps table, the top. It's called big ones, little ones, or full board. And the little ones is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got to roll all those. You get 30-1. The big ones is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You hit those, 30-1. The middle is 150-1, and that's all of them. I hit the big, 30-1, $5 there, extra 150. I hit every number on the little. We get down to the two. All I needed was snake eyes. I would have won 30-1 and then 150-1. That would have been an extra 900.
Snake
bucks.
Eyes means you have to roll two ones?
Two ones.
Well, what do you mean all?
Yeah,
that
I was
sounds
say,
like
that
is.
Seems like a really like
it's very difficult
to bank
it's
on.
Very difficult to do. But
what's the probability of rolling a snake eyes?
Probably about 30-1. Probably okay. About every 30 rolls, you probably roll a snake.
Yeah.
But I had rolled. I had probably a 40 roll. Turn. I was rolling for a good 20-30 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
that
was,
means you just kept winning every
kept
roll.
Winning. I mean, I just went psh, I mean, look how much I had. I'll show you this photo. This is what I cashed in with at the end. I put it all on the table. I mean, that was all I had. Look at those greens. Those 25s, baby.
Why'd you take a picture of that?
Huh?
Why'd you take a picture of that?
I don't know.
It's like, look how little I have. Here's my picture.
It's a gambling thing, Sean. That's
a
gambling thing.
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, that's a lot.
Aren't you supposed to not take your phone out at the table? Do
they
not
care? Yeah, I don't follow
those rules. Oh, okay.
I mean, that's 500 bucks. The 25's right there. There's another 100.
Oh.
There's 100 in red.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I one roll away, and I finally, and I crapped out, and that was one snake eyes away from an extra 900 bucks.
What are you going to do with the money? Is it smart to be bragging about this so much if Sarah's listening? Because...
She loves it.
Or if the muggers of New Orleans are listening.
No, but is that money going to be going to her, like, you know, a payout?
Oh, no. I'll put it
like
in
Mama
my
needs a new pair of shoes.
I'll go to the ATM and throw it in the ATM.
Okay.
Go to my checking account.
You mentioned cleaning out your colon before you. Can we get into what I told you the conversation he was having with Eric yesterday about his new method of cleaning himself?
Oh. I don't know if you're going to be able to describe that for radio purposes. I don't know about that.
It's gross. That's all. You need to do a confessional.
It's a very invasive.
You need
way
to do a confessional for
of
it then
yourself,
because we've got to be able to get it out.
But there. I feel clean as a whistle.
There that's what I got to do. I learned something yesterday, by the way, as we're talking about trips. I never believed that I was ever going to have to. The way people talk about New Orleans, I didn't think I was ever going to have to salt anything when I was here.
Yeah.
People were like,
oh. I got a roast beef po' boy, and it was on the verge of too salty. It was salty.
And there's most everything I've eaten here so far has been really salty or a lot of spice. So
this city and state has to have the lowest rate of living.
That's a good question.
They really have to. I mean, there's just no way. This is the worst place I could have ever gone before going to a Cabo vacation next week. This is the worst place on earth for that.
I would imagine that it's
like, yeah, cardiologists it's
right there.
There must be cardiologists, you know, like bugs around here.
73 is the
Mississippi.
Mississippi's the lowest. We could have guessed that.
Because it's
West
the poorest.
Virginia is number two, and then Louisiana,
better
Kentucky,
move, Florio,
and Arkansas.
Louisiana's right there.
Number three.
Yeah.
Yep. Third you're line. Right. Nailed it. So I go in there and I order some jambalaya along with my wonderful fries that I ate with the pot
there
roast.
Better not be a damn piece of shrimp in that jambalaya. There better not be a piece of crab meat.
Not there was not. It was right. Chicken and sausage.
Okay.
I was like, okay, chicken and sausage. And I was like, okay, they've got a regular size portion, a large portion. I was like, well, I like jambalaya. I had jambalaia the other night at the party. Whenever I've eaten it before,
that's
like
the other
it.
Thing I've learned around here. You have to order the smalls. Only order
yes.
small and regular.
I screwed up, and I was like, give me the large.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like jambalaya. I'll eat that, and if I don't eat it all, I'll take it home. And so they bring the jambalaya out there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wow, that looks like it's got to be just salty as hell. In fact, I'm going to – let me pull up a
who looks at that and goes, wow, that looks
– I'm just saying, you know
that
what
looks amazingly
I mean,
salty.
No, you know what I mean. Like, you look at something and go, like, that's got to be really seasoned. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, like – there it was.
Yeah.
Look at that. And
that
so I was
looks
like,
good.
All right, that's got to be good.
Yeah.
There was no taste to it. It tasted like rice that was dropped in a bowl.
Yeah.
And I was like, this can't be right. And so I took salt out and covered the thing, stirred it up, ate it, still nothing. And Kristen's like, do you have COVID? Like, do you think it's possible you have COVID? I was like, no, give me some salt. I was like, I taste everything else fine. So I poured more salt on there and then finally kind of got somewhat of a taste. So I texted David Hellman and I was like, dude, what is wrong with your city? I was told I was never going to have to like worry about spice. You guys mock us for like, you folks in other states, you can't handle a little seasoning.
Yeah.
And he said, my guess is you probably fell for a tourist trap in the French Quarter or something like that. I said, I told him where I went, Mulots or something. And he said, yeah, that's a tourist trap. But he said, here's the thing they don't tell you when you come to Louisiana. He goes, you don't order gumbo or jambalaya in a restaurant anywhere.
What?
And I was like, what? And he said, 9 times out of 10, when that's on the menu, it's a tourist trap.
Why?
Somebody just trying to. He said, it's just most times the restaurants don't do well. So they just know people are expecting, oh, that's a dish people eat here. So they throw it on the menu. They don't do it very well.
Acme Oyster House, the first night, the worst thing that I had was the cup of gumbo.
Yeah. And so he said that a lot of times it's just.
By far. Everything else was pretty good. That was the worst thing.
He said it's generally a trap just to get people to buy because they think, oh, I'm supposed to eat this in Louisiana. So they'll buy it like blindly. But he's like, no, it's generally not done well in restaurants.
I had an older woman last night in the
Did
bar. she was ready to fight me.
Really?
Oh, I was just.
Oh, that one.
I'm just destroying this city. I'm turning it up. I'm choppy times five.
She had the Bob Vila jacket.
I'm crapping all over their whole city. I'm crapping on the weather. I'm crapping on the food. I'm crapping on the dirt.
They crap on the sidewalk.
All of it. I'm doing all of it. Speaking of that. Peyton Russell, what do you got for the junk drawer?
Well, there's been a lot of bathroom stories out in New Orleans, especially from RJ Choppy, so I have something you could use here. It's reusable toilet paper. We're not talking about your dude wipes that you use or that 2 or 3 ply. We have reusable toilet paper from this woman. Her name's Jasmine. Look, it's only February, but I've already found the worst mom of the year already here in the year 2025. It's Jasmine. She doesn't believe in flushing toilet paper after using it. She might be the only human on the face of the planet that has this reusable toilet paper. So she has a family of 6, right? And she uses these cloths that she wipes and then throws them in the washer, reuses them. Now, she says the only way this can work is if she's at Sean's house because he has a bidet. You have to use the bidet, wash up, and then you clean. You know, you don't go straight from just doing the business to that washcloth. You know, you have to use the bidet first, rinse off, and then, you know, use the cloth from there. But this is disgusting. This woman, along with some other people we've talked about on the show, need to be sent to the sun.
That makes it better with the if you use the bidet first, right? It should be, you know, less messy.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's still disgusting. And, you know, were you a cloth diaper? You're not a cloth diaper.
Cloth diaper?
For your kids?
I don't even know. What is that?
For wiping?
You throw them away.
No, it's a people reuse diapers. Yeah. Like, you go in the diaper, and it's a cloth diaper, and they'll wash it and reuse
100%
it.
100% chance Chiafalo was a cloth diaper user.
I would not doubt it.
I throw them away.
Of course you do, because you're a normal functioning human. Yeah. Okay. This is not psycho. Sorry, Chiafalo.
I do like Peyton calling this reusable toilet paper, and it's a washcloth. Like, Peyton's so unfamiliar with a washcloth.
Yeah, I was like, how are you getting it out of the water and staying together?
It's like this reusable thing. Yeah. This cloth.
There was a show about all these types of people, though.
I hate hippies. I really do.
On how to, like, they don't. I can't remember. It's the cheapest people on earth, or they like keep the bathwater in, and they have all these tactics. There was a show, and
yeah.
I would be fascinated in watching it for a while.
Yeah, and there was, and I mean, look,
they go out on a date and order like half a sandwich.
Like, I think like Amish communities will do stuff like this, where it's like cloth diapers, or they'll use washcloths and so I mean, that's not something that's. In fact, it's not in poorer areas. That was not unheard of, where people would use washcloths on babies and then rewash them. Now on an adult and on the whole family, that I've never heard of.
Well,
but.
So real quick, I mean, what do you do if you go to someone's house, use the restroom, and you see there's no toilet paper and there's these washcloths? I mean, you tell them, hey, I need some TP.
No, you zip up and try to make it to another restroom in there.
you do the waddle. You waddle.
You do the waddle. Yeah, exactly. You do. I'm not using your wash. What am I going to do with the washcloth after I use it?
I'm texting them.
Okay. How about this? You use the washcloth. How many people are in the house? If it's a house party, you can use the washcloth and throw it in the trash and put something over it. If it's just you, I got to waddle to another bathroom.
Yeah, you got to.
You know? Because they're not going to track the washcloth back to me.
Or if you could text them, hey, yo, you're out of toilet paper.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just text the
home. What's your solution? Since you're insulting all mine.
I'm not insulting. I'm laughing. That's true. I can't imagine that. Just use the washcloth and throw it away.
And do you ever go to the restroom without looking at the...
No.
Has that ever happened to you that you've noticed, oh my God, there's no toilet paper?
Maybe
not
once
until after.
If I'm in a rush and then I sit there, I'm like, oh, and then you're just yelling for somebody from up front. But I had a buddy who, when he was in college, he was broke, so where he would look to save money was he never bought toilet paper. So he said his routine became he would go, and anytime his one a day where he'd go, he'd said that was just when it was shower time. He would get up and immediately go into the shower and clean off.
I've done that before.
You have?
Yeah, when it's straight? Like when it's like a Sharpie.
Oh my gosh.
It's like you got a Sharpie down there.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe you're even friends with that person. That's disgusting.
We haven't talked a lot.
And all my father-in-law keeps texting me about is RJ keeps talking about how many craps he's taking and then right to the nails. Right to the nails every
day.
You
know, I wash my hands. Jeez. And believe me, I scrub the hell out of those things when I'm done.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because Bobby knows about my cleaning regimen.
Oh.
So I've got...
I could have RJ's finger declog my toilet, it sounds like.
Just his tip.
Technique. 877-881. We're sorry. We're sorry to all the parents. We're sorry.
We got him.
877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. All right, get the fan cam on him. If you're watching the fan cam, you got this. Someone walked by.
He's awake now.
Someone, Ruben fell asleep. Someone walked by. I heard someone say to him, "Those streets will bite you." And I didn't know what they were talking about. And now I know Ruben apparently is. What did he do after? Did he stay downstairs in the bar? Did you go out after? Put your headset on. By the way, let me tell you about the beast. You know who the number one beast is from last night?
Mm-mm.
Eric Chiafalo. In the car home, he goes, "Well, that Gus's Chicken we were going to go to for lunch, are they open?" I said, "I don't know. Why?" He goes, "I'm starving." Chiafalo said he was going to go on the way home from dinner to the fried chicken place. What did you do?
I went with him.
Huh?
I went with
him. So he went to Gus's?
No, it was closed. So we went to that Italian bistro on the corner.
Uh-huh.
So
get a slice.
Did you eat too?
Yeah, I ate too.
You were starving.
I was pretty starving. We both.
You should have told me. I would have gotten chicken.
See, no, because you guys.
You wouldn't.
You guys ordered fish. You guys ordered fish. That's not filling.
And then you come back home after that?
Yeah, I went back home.
Okay.
So I ordered, shared wings with Eric. Zach went with us as well. We had a pizza as well.
Wow! From dinner!
Yeah, he needed that siesta over there. He's just full. It's the tryptophan.
Joe Trahan, you're terrible. Brian Broaddus, you're terrible. No more food suggestions. Don't open your mouth, Broaddus. Don't look at me sideways anymore this entire trip. All right, the Dallas Mavericks are worried about what's happening for the next home game tomorrow. Are the Mavericks, not Nico, are the Mavericks going to get booed and a body language expert on how guilty Jason Kidd really is? Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.